CBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Lindsay Watts. Protests across Israel over the prime minister's plans to overhaul the judicial system, giving him and his government more power.
We all have to fight for our rights because of the plans of Benjamin Netanyahu that want to turn this nation into a dictatorship.
Netanyahu, who fired his defense minister last night over the plan, was going to speak this morning, but that's been put on hold. More than two dozen people killed in Alabama and Mississippi tornadoes over the weekend.
It's heartbreaking because some of these folks are not going to be able to rebuild. So, you know, it's overwhelming.
Rodney Pierce in Rolling Fork, Mississippi. The twister killed both of his parents. The grand jury investigating Donald Trump's alleged role in the Stormy Daniels hush money case resumes work today. This is ABC News. South Korea and Japan say North Korea fired two short-range ballistic missiles into the Sea of Japan today. It's the regime's latest missile launch amid joint military exercises by the U.S. and South Korea. A museum is coming to the aid of a former Florida school principal.
The museum in Florence, Italy, housing Michelangelo's Renaissance masterpiece David, is inviting parents and students from a Tallahassee, Florida charter school to visit after complaints led to the principal being fired by the school board for showing pictures of the statue, the birth of Venus, and other famous art. Some parents called it porn because of the 15th and 16th century nudity. The mayor of Florence calls the flap ridiculous. He's inviting the fired principal, Hope Caraschilla, to the city to be honored.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. A growing number of colleges are eliminating conventional A through F grades for freshmen. Supporters tell NPR many students get so preoccupied with grades they don't actually learn much. Lindsay Watts, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Navnair. Here's what you need to know. For the first time in 45 years, there won't be a Briggs & Als run and walk in downtown Milwaukee. The event dates back to legendary Marquette University basketball coach Al McGuire. The Children's Wisconsin Foundation is looking for feedback on how to create new and more inclusive events that could replace the run down the road. Participation has been on the decline in recent years. In 2019, there were 10,000 participants. Last year, after being canceled for 2 years because of the pandemic, participation down to 8,000. Over its 45-year run, the event has raised $22 million. A cyber attack launched this week against the Wisconsin court system's computer network. Court officials say users may have experienced spotty service or slower than normal response times. If you're having difficulties filing documents electronically, contact the clerk of court in your respective county. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over
on
if you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Back with you for Monday, February 27th, 2023. Welcome to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Monday. For some of you, it might be the only hour of Up North News Radio. We had some technical issues during our first hour that kept us both off the radio and off the Up North News Facebook page. But we'll try to make up for that with a really good hour of programming here, in part because Kristen Lyerly is here. So of course you're going to have something good to take away from this anyway, right?
That's like we stumbled through the first hour, but this hour is going to be great.
This is the one, baby.
This we're going to be cheerful. It's going to be the best Monday ever. Let's do this.
You know, part of it is the sense of impending doom as I look out the window across the farm field here. And I don't know what that is on the driveway, if that's that grouple that weather people like to talk about with a little, you know, freezing rain, sleet, whatever it is. But it's coming. It's coming. We've got a winter storm warning here for the day, and it's not going to be pretty on the roads. So I just hope everybody's careful out there.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
This new term, this grouple,
yeah.
Grouple, mm-hmm. Whatever they're calling it. So, I grew up here. I've never heard this term before. Was I not paying attention? Is this a new term? Where did this come from?
I think that it was some weather people somewhere trying to sound smarter and take attention away from the times that they have missed the mark on the forecast, shall we say. So We throw this new term in, which again we've called it, you know, freezing rain, freezing sleet, I think is probably the better way to put it. It reminds me that the Eskimos, I'm told, have like 42 different words for snow, you know, depending on what kind it is, and we just go snow, you know, and then we have to add later it's wet and heavy or it's light and fluffy or whatever the case may be. And We just didn't come up with, you know, grouple and 41 other words to describe what it's like out there. We just say it's ugly. And
we're backtracking now.
Yeah, exactly.
The grouple.
Yes. Yep. We will hear more from weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vichitsky coming up in just a few minutes here. Also, it's Motherhood Monday, so Kate and Nicole from Motherhood for Good will have information on what busy moms should know about April's school board races, the buzzwords you're likely to hear, and what it all really means. Plus Terry Bell with Three Things You Should Know. And Up North News, Christina Laurie has a new segment called The Uplift that we'll hear about in just a few minutes. Our phone numbers are 715-388-7155 or 844-967-2789. Or you can reach us by email at radio at upnorthnewswi.com. In looking at some of the headlines that I wanted to share, I do want to take a moment to talk about the Lac-de-Flambeau controversy right now. And there's an issue with the Lac-de-Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa having a road dispute with the adjoining town. It's been going on for nearly a month now. So let me give you a little background to make the point that at a time when we need cooler heads and negotiations, and all of that needs to be accelerated, all that talking to one another, someone who should be facilitating talks to resolve the matter has predictably thrown gas on the fire and is working overtime to make a tense situation worse. But before we get to the latest foolishness from Congressman Toxic Tom Tiffany, let's give a little history. The Lac du Flambeau Reservation is not a solid block of contiguous and sovereign land, although it should be. The problem is based in large part on a law passed in 1887 that made it easier for the federal government to break its promises and break up the tribal land into smaller pieces and sell it off to tribal members individually. And you might think, hey, is that such a bad thing? But here's the thing. Those individuals could then sell off that parcel of land to somebody else, and it no longer belongs to the sovereign nation of the tribal community. In fact, from 1887 to 1934, Native Americans lost control of about 100 million acres of what had been their land. It created a Swiss cheese situation where non-Indians owned parcels surrounded by tribal land. So how do they get to that land with permission without trespassing on the reservation? By creating an easement, a corridor, a permission slip, where the tribal nation is compensated as a way of permitting access across their land. At Lac du Flambeau, easement agreements existed for many years, but then they expired, and they expired in 2010. Since then, the Lac du Flambeau have tried to work out a new deal, but there have been a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Beyond the tribe and the individual landowners, there's the federal government's Bureau of Indian Affairs, title companies representing some of those individual parcels of land. And the Lac du Flambeau said that after more than a dozen years of foot dragging with the tribe uncompensated for the easements, their only option to get everyone else in the kitchen to take the matter seriously is to shut down access along those easements. Now, doing so, blocking the people who are literally your neighbors, is not great optics, but they can't block access for BIA bureaucrats or title company lawyers. So that's where we're at. The tribe is setting a high dollar amount for resolution. The town has come back with a much lower number. The Bureau of Indian Affairs, according to news reports, appears to have been missing in action with the appraisal information that could help all sides reach a reasonable dollar amount. Governor Evers has visited. He and Tammy Baldwin have sent a letter to the Secretary of the Interior asking the federal government to step up their help. So who's making a tense situation worse? The congressman from the 7th District, Toxic Tom Tiffany, sent a letter to tribal leadership, basically insulting the tribe and saying that the longer the roadblocks remain in place, the more likely policymakers will be to pursue a legislative option. And what he means by that is the kind of thing that policymakers did back in 1887. We'll take a break. We will get the weather update. We'll have the uplift with Christina Laurie, and then Motherhood Monday still coming up for Up North News Radio on this Monday.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you're age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA life insurance.
Good morning. Assuming everything is going as planned, Pat's returning from his vacation right now to an undisclosed location, but getting back home to Lake Wissota, and he should be getting some shut-eye to keep up or make back up the sleep he might have lost during his flight. And then today, still replays from the last week or so, but starting tomorrow, we'll have Pat live once again. But until then, this morning, we still have live weather updates from Weatherology. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it looks like today, sunny for most today, except for portions of the west, Amory, Baldwin, even over to Richland Center, starting out with sun and then increasing in clouds throughout the day in those parts of the state. In the 40s for most of the state as well, a little cooler in the 30s along both lakefronts, Ashland and Milwaukee. Partly cloudy for most tonight, cloudy in the west, overnight lows between the mid-teens to the mid-20s. Sunny skies also expected for most tomorrow for many, Madison to Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids, a little more cloud cover around Wausau and in the west. And then by Wednesday, cooler for everyone as a cold front starts to really push through at that point. Cloudy skies expected in the southern parts of the state with slight chances for snow showers and highs in the mid-30s. Becoming sunny for the central, western, and northern portions of the state Wednesday and dry as well. And then it does look like we'll have another system coming in with some mixed precipitation chances for the second half of the work week for most, and we'll get more into that in the next couple of days.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That is Jennifer Vachitsky from Weatherology, and I hope that she has a wonderful day. From here, we will continue with the uplift with Christina Laurie.
We reached out to Christina Laurie, my colleague at Up North News. She is very much from the camp of there's enough bad news out there around the world that we need to carve out some time to remind people of some of the good that's happening out there. And so we've invited her to, you know, be part of our Mondays to, you know, look ahead to the week to come and, you know, share some good stuff that is happening around it. And I had a chance to talk with her a little bit earlier, and let's hear how she had an outlook for the week. And it leads to a pop quiz for everybody as we start the week about Girl Scout cookies. And so Christina Laurie joins us now with the uplift and helps us not think about the stories that are dragging us down day after day, but things that give us a little bit of hope and look at the sunnier side of life mostly. But we have a wrinkle in our first story. Christina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's not good. Too hard of a job, right?
It's a great role. It's just that sometimes the best laid plans, I mean, when we talk about things that make us happy, you know, one of the things we wanted to talk about was Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you know, that makes sense. He's a delightful person, but he also has what I would call he injured his wrist the other day, so we're on wrist watch. I don't have a rim shot to play, but anyway, regardless, you know, Giannis is still somebody that makes us feel good, and he's somebody who's been an MVP, and maybe there's a local connection if we can get him to win that trophy again. You want to tell us about it?
I know. Well, first, we're hoping for his wrist to heal because he was, like, in the most recent ratings. I mean, he's fresh off of that All-Star team win. Team Giannis beat Team LeBron for the first time ever. And now he's one of the final contenders, still in the running for that MVP trophy. And what's really neat about it this year is that it was made in Milwaukee. And it's the first year that they're calling the MVP award the Michael Jordan Trophy. And so this local Milwaukee shop built the statue. It took almost a full year to make. And the statue, it's 23.6 inches tall and 23 pounds because, of course,
23 Jordan. Was Jordan's yes. number, of course. Okay.
Number. But it would just be, I mean, extra cool, right, if somebody from Milwaukee walked away with that trophy the first time.
And again, kind of solidify what what an NBA-friendly team Milwaukee has become with putting up the Fiserv Forum and getting Giannis, and then, of course, the NBA championship. And then you can't be in the Deer District and not feel good.
And something about Giannis, I know that, I mean, I brought up LeBron before. That was kind of the big disconnect between him and Cleveland, was that a lot of players, they get big and they want to go to one of those historic franchises. And it's their life. I mean, how do you say, like, yeah, you shouldn't go play for the Lakers, or you shouldn't go play for the Celtics, or, you know, whatever your team is. And for Giannis to have really doubled down and committed to the city of Milwaukee, I think that's why he's just so beloved here. And if I know I'm supposed to be bringing the good news, but if you ever want to feel bad about yourself personally, just remember that Giannis is only 28 years old.
Yeah, I mean, both of my kids are older than that. So, but he has, which means he's the future's all good, and that's fantastic. The other story we want to talk about is to put out a red alert to everybody. Be warned, hang on to your checkbooks, but you're going to need them. It's Girl Scout cookie time, and I tend to spend a little too much on the Thin Mints. And what are they now, Caramel Delights or Samoas? Or do they use both those names still? I don't know, but they're the greatest cookie ever.
Well, you're right, because they do still use both of those names, and it depends on where you live and what your main bakery is. So here in Wisconsin, they usually call them Caramel Delights, not Samoas, and they call them Peanut Butter Patties, not Tagalongs, but it's all pretty much the same cookie. But across the majority of Wisconsin, I just want to clarify, because some specific troops start selling at different times, but most Wisconsin Scouts, their cookies go on sale starting this coming weekend. So you can find them. Every troop, also every council, sets their own prices. So they range between $4 and $7. The general standard across the state this year is $5, which it's always nice when it's that even number, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you go to a baseball game and they charge you like $11.25 for a beer. It's like they're trying to get that extra money. So it's a solid $5. And what's interesting this year is there is a new cookie. It's called the Raspberry Rally. So if you like Thin Mints, it's very similar to that cookie. It almost looks exactly like it, except for instead of the mint undertone, it's a raspberry undertone. But one thing to know about that is that this is not your average Girl Scout cookie season still. That cookie is available exclusively through But you can, if you have a Girl Scout that you know, or you want to support your local troop, you just enter your zip code and you still purchase it directly from a scout, so that all of the proceeds help them and, you know, the camps that they go to, the programs that they do. But Pat, I have to ask you, because I talked to some Girl Scouts about this, and I was asking them, if they had the power to create any Girl Scout cookie they wanted, what would they come up with? And while you're thinking of your answer, I'll just give you a few creative ideas that they gave me.
Okay.
They told me that one of them wanted just like a classic chocolate chip cookie, which I think is really interesting, because they don't have that.
They don't someone do else, that, right?
Someone else wanted a white chocolate chip cookie, which I don't like chocolate, so I was totally on board with 9-year-old Sophie here. A lot of them wanted to bring back old cookies. There was a cookie called a mango cream not too long ago that someone wanted. And the one that stuck out to me that was pretty innovative, the Girl Scouts have this cookie called a lemonade. That's just like a lemon cookie with lemon frosting. She wanted to make a cherry cookie with pink frosting, and that would be shaped like two cherries, which I thought was pretty cute. That came from 10-year-old Corinne.
All right. You know, mine's not very imaginative. I just think of some of the other things that I really like. And for example, if you put a bowl of bite-sized Kit Kat candy bars in front of me, the bowl will empty. And I think, you know, using Kit Kat as a basis for a Girl Scout cookie would be downright dangerous for somebody like me. But remember, I'm also in Chippewa Falls, and, you know, they try to put beer into all kinds of, you know, you boil your brats in beer, and there's beer bread and everything else. So while it wouldn't have alcohol content, I could completely see, you know, like Liney's Honey Vice or Berry Vice or something tied into a cookie. You wouldn't really do that with a Girl Scout tied to a brewery. But if you're going to ask me what I do for a unique cookie, I'm going to go really unique on you. Now, did you end up with a personal favorite?
Well, what's unique about what you just brought up is that a lot of around this time of year, a lot of wineries, they publish the perfect cookie wine pairing. So I could see that totally happening out at Chippewa Falls, having beer cookie pairings. See, like, you know, which beer pairs best with Caramel Delights or Samoas or Tagalongs.
Needless to say, I'm going to be putting in a call to one John Leinenkugel after the segment and seeing if we can't make that happen at the lodge just down the street from here. Christina Lurie with The Uplift. Loving this new segment. Thanks so much. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day, everyone.
Good to have Christina telling us about The Uplift. And I mentioned before, I mentioned the Leinenkugel Brewery, and I should have told Christina at the time, I just finished this rather exhaustive history of the Leinenkugel Brewery. It was a book that was a gift, and would love to talk to you know, John or Dick or Jake or maybe all of them about it if they'd like to at some point. Kristen, you've had time to think about it. Is there a favorite Girl Scout cookie and a Girl Scout cookie you'd invent?
Yes, I'm pivoting though, because I want to talk about the Leinenkugel Brewery. I love it there.
Okay, well, look, it's our question of the week. We got the week. We're fine. We'll come back to that. What do you want to do with the pairings? You're liking the idea?
No, pairings, that's fine. I just want to go to the brewery. I want to hang out.
Oh, you just want to go?
I want to
It's right over this way. I can hear the noon whistle from there every day.
It's such a great spot.
I can't get there today because there's grapple all over my driveway, which we now we learned the definition this hour. Grapple bounces. Sleet does not bounce. It's like bumbles, you know. Bumbles, they bounce. Bumbles and grapple. All right, we got to take a break. Motherhood Monday coming up next with Nicole and Kate from Motherhood for Good talking about school board elections. Kristen and I will hang around as well. That's all on the other side of this pause on Up North News Radio.
Just tuning in, you're only stuck in the middle with me for the rest of today, and tomorrow Pat will be back for another live episode of Up North News Radio.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Lindsay Watts. Parts of the South still cleaning up from weekend twisters. More than 24 killed in Mississippi over the past few days. Unprecedented protests across Israel over Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plan to overhaul the judicial system. ABC's James Longman in Tel Aviv with the latest.
There's a bit of a party atmosphere because people feel they're really on the edge of victory here. And this is as the country has come basically to a standstill now because a massive strike has been called. The largest union in the country has called for a strike. That means that the airport is now partially closed. Hospitals, banks, universities, all shutting down.
The White House says it is deeply concerned about the unrest in Israel. A lawsuit against Ticketmaster gets underway today. A group of Taylor Swift fans claiming there's a conspiracy to jack up prices for Swift's concert tour. A group of Drake fans filing a separate lawsuit in Canada. This is ABC News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Dear Hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser, a farmer up in Merrill area, will join us from Lincoln County to talk about the provisions in Governor Evers' budget proposal that would benefit rural economies, the rural infrastructure, rural schools, of course, the families and small businesses that do business all across the state. So be on the lookout for that about this time tomorrow. But that's this time tomorrow. Right now we're at this time today. And so Kristen Lyerly is here with us. Kristen helped connect me with our friends Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin from Motherhood for Good. And they have brought in a guest as well, as they do every other Monday here. And to set this all up, well, first, let me say how rude of me. Good morning, ladies, to all of you. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Look, the last couple of weeks, we have understandably talked a lot about the Supreme Court primary, but it is now time to transition to these school board races. In a simpler age, folks in a community valued their community schools. Others decided that private school was their preference, but then politicians, some politicians, decided to go a little further and frankly tried just to kill off public schools. And now there's other folks who are running for positions on local school boards that are saying things that sound like they're supportive of public schools, but not necessarily, or at least support them on their terms, which leads to, you know, some unique buzzwords and phrases like parental rights and things. And so we wondered, how do you learn about your candidate locally? How do you learn about what people mean when they say this or that? And so Kate and Nicole are working on that from the standpoint of Motherhood for Good, which is aimed at, you know, helping busy moms understand political issues and make things more approachable. And we'll use some school board elections as an example. So Kate, Nicole, good morning to both of you again. And if you want to introduce the topic a bit more, fine. Otherwise, you can introduce your guest and we'll get rolling.
Absolutely. So yeah, I will just piggyback on what you said with school board races. We talk a lot about here at Motherhood for Good. People are very curious about them. We get probably the most questions about them. One reason being, I think they have become quite contentious. And then a second reason is, just like you said, it's a little bit harder to understand what candidates stand for. Just even find your candidates, dig into that a little bit. It's really all done at a local level and requires a level of really digging into that civic engagement and figuring out what's going on. So today we have Lynn Worley with us. She is a candidate running for one of the seats in the Wauwatosa School Board election. She's an associate professor at UWM, a co-founder of the group TOSA Together, and has three kids who attend schools in the district. Lynn, something you said in one of your videos on your website, which I love, is that schools are really in need of people who are passionately positive about them. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you chose to run for school board in Wauwatosa right now?
Sure. So thank you very much for inviting me to the show. I think that what was said in the introduction just really points to the idea that schools are a core part of our community. I feel that way for our family. We have kids in elementary, middle, and high school. And I've had the opportunity, besides being the typical parent who, you know, signs up for things and drops things off and participates at, you know, school events or goes on field trips, the last year and a half, I've had the opportunity to work a little more deeply with the school district because of my background in researching systems and systems change. And so I've been working with them on looking at some of the violence prevention tools that they have in the school, particularly restorative practices and restorative justice. And that got me a chance to work with staff and principals and really made me realize, even though I'd gone to school board meetings for a long time, some of the wider big challenges that are facing schools at this time and our district in particular. So building on that and on my community involvement, you mentioned TOSA Together, I helped to start the Equity and Inclusion Commission here and see that our schools have in Wauwatosa are making great strides in terms of inclusion and equity, but have a lot further to go. Those two particular issues have really drawn me into wanting to be part of this kind of position where I'm looking a lot more at policy and the big picture in the school district.
That's great, Lynn. One quick question, and I guess all of that's wonderful. And your positivity, I mean, I think that's a lot of what really resonates just researching, looking at your website, and then obviously the history and knowledge you bring to what you're doing. How do you counteract this, the negativity, I guess? Like, I feel like you can't even say inclusion or equality or bring up, you know, any kind of work in that space. Gender, I mean, that's triggering for the other side. Talk to us about how you navigate that and obviously the importance of it, but what you've seen and how you're navigating that.
Sure. Well, part of how I navigate it is to get even more granular and be very specific about what I'm seeing in the schools, what I'm hearing from the students, what I'm hearing from the parents. Because so many of these comments that are made or these ideas, they're terms. And they're big and they're meant to make people upset and angry and to trigger. And to bring a whole bunch of baggage with them. So when I'm talking and working, we've just done a whole lot of meet and greets and open sessions recently. And it's really important, I feel, to talk about the real experiences that I've had and that people have told me about. Posting also on my social media. So the grandfather who came to the door when I was knocking on doors a couple weeks ago and said, you know, if you're going to help take care of the kids who are LGBTQ, IA plus, if you're going to help that community, I'm there. I'm for you. So I have grandchildren. I want them to be in a school that accepts everyone. And so those are the kinds of comments or when someone else in the race says, oh, you know, kids are running crazy all over school. And I say, actually, I've been in the schools and there are definitely challenges, but the staff are doing a really good job. They just need some time to get the systems out and work them through. And we need to support them and do our part too as parents and as community members.
You're so right, Lynn. And as you're out talking with parents and with voters in your community, what kinds of things are they concerned about? What are they telling you?
Well, in our district, I think there are really a couple of main themes. One is that the scores from the state have come back recently, and we haven't had a lot of scores from the state. So seeing that our school district had a variety of different levels of success when it comes to state scores have made people sort of pivot to the question of academic achievement and are we doing enough and are we leveraging the resources we have? Are we deploying them in the best ways? So that's one big theme that is an important one in our district. And I will say that I feel like our administration is on top of it as much as they can and getting more on top of it every day when I talk to them. It's just a really big challenge, not just post-COVID, before that too, but COVID has definitely planted some additional challenges in the academic achievement area. And the second one is the whole concern around behavioral supports. We see that come out differently for different students. Some return to school after a long period of isolation, especially the younger ones. And so the schools are needing to really, and Wauwatosa is doing this, put in a lot of additional staff to work with kids on social emotional skills, along with skills around conflict and how to manage difference. Because in the time period that we were all isolated, our suburb became more and more culturally, socially, and economically diverse. And so when the kids go to school, schools don't look necessarily like their families do. And so we need a lot of adult support in the schools helping them to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we don't need to get too into kind of your opponent or all of the people that are running in the race, but I know there are a couple of candidates that are more running as a conservative slate, appearing to seem more moderate, and using some of that language that Pat talked about at the beginning of the show that makes it really difficult for people to really understand what people really stand for. Lynn, do you have any tips for people who are trying to get more knowledgeable about school board races and different language or things they should look for and ideas of how they can really understand who they align with in terms of values?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, first of all, I'll say school boards are nonpartisan. They're supposed to be nonpartisan. Right. We represent everybody who is in the city. We're an at-large candidate. And that's a huge ask because our larger social political context is not nonpartisan in any sense of the word. And Wauwatosa in particular has been a very purple place for a number of years. So that makes it challenging. But as far as looking, I can't say enough for, you know, you've got to get the materials that people are putting out and ask them questions. I don't know that there's a lot of simple words because I do think that the candidates that are running, they're all parents. I will honestly say I've been on a lot of sessions with them. They all really care deeply about what's happening in the district, but their goals are somewhat different. Mm-hmm. So I think if you have someone who really focuses on the word safety, as opposed to thinking about the strategies for helping kids to deal with, you know, sort of conflict and even social emotional differences, or somebody who won't talk about the fact that, yes, a district might have a lot of inequalities around race or might be uncomfortable talking about the gender expansive ideas, that those are all, you know, sort of signs of they're going to tell you how they fit with your own particular values. So I think those are ones that I would look for. When someone claims that a school district is very financially insecure, when in fact the district is not, you need to go and look at what your school district is saying about itself. Be aware if hopefully, like ours, your school district is putting out regular reports and videotapes its school board meetings. I know that's a lot of work, but this is about your kids. Know about these elections because they're important.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple other terms we've been talking about, just to kind of read off here, is like things like age-appropriate education, parents' choice or parental rights is going to be big, transparency, protecting children, and back to basics. And
okay, yeah,
these are confusing because everybody wants these things, right?
Yeah, they sound good. Yeah,
that sounds great, but you dig into them a little bit more and understand kind of where they're coming from. And like you said, Lynn, the majority of people trust teachers. They trust their schools to do a good job. And I think some of these candidates, not just in this community, but really all over the state and all over the country that are coming from a far right perspective, they may be loud, but they do not represent what most of parents want, like you said. So I think that's really important to note there. And we're going to be working on a few more resources with those words and also putting together some sample questions that people can use to bring to their candidate forums or things like that.
Yeah, and we'll get into the, what do people mean by parental rights and because again, you can be as involved as you want right now in your kid's education. You can go to school board meetings right now, but we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks here. The one that I want to point out as well is whenever you have a candidate that focuses on taxes more than the student, look, nobody wants to pay more taxes than they have to. But if you've got a candidate with that whole run government like a business mentality, and, I know, Kristen, you've mentioned some other school boards as well, where they talk primarily about the money. Lynn, I'm sure that if somebody's leading with the money talk, that's a red flag to you as well.
It is. And I think that's because, like I said, if you are claiming that a district doesn't use their resources well, or you're trying to stir up people and make them feel that they're paying for something they're not getting anything for. This came up at a forum recently, and I said, you know what? You might, and if you don't have kids, you still need to invest in the community. And some, if you're older and you had kids, someone invested in your kids. So, we all pay into this community resource and we all thrive from it. And we can use the schools too. We have a lot of community opportunities in our schools. So it's not just about the kids.
Great. Thank you. One final question. And I mean, so many of us are out there trying to get educated ahead of the upcoming election in April. What if you could give your here's what I wish everyone would go do. What's the best way that parents and community members can educate themselves about what's happening in these races?
Well, there are a number of forums, and some of them are recorded and online, but mostly they're happening in person. So it's hard, I know, to get out there. The other thing I will say is I'm a candidate that's going door to door. And some of my, I have a big support team of about 70 volunteers. They're doing different things, but a good chunk of them are going door to door. And I would say if you could just answer the door when we come, we'd love to engage you and talk. And you can ask all the questions you want to at that point, and we'll be glad to take our time and tell you about who we are and why I'm running, why I'm making this effort to be a volunteer in a really big way.
There you go. I mean, it's as local as it gets. Lynn Worley, thank you so much. We appreciate hearing about how you want to serve your community. Kate, Nicole, can't thank you enough. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks with more issues, maybe more guests, but always good to see you too. Thank you so much for bringing this information to everybody today.
Thank you.
When we come back, we will have Civic Media News Director Terry Bell joining us with three things you should know to get the week started. That's coming up after a break and your local weather forecast. This is Up North News Radio for a Monday.
Earn, play, and win at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Rewards Club members can earn up to $155 rewards play and $5 to use at Whitetail Crossing or to grab a bite to eat at the Swiftwater Lounge. Guests may start earning points on your Rewards Club card 7 a.m. through 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. till midnight every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Become an off-road warrior with Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa now until March 25th. Guests can earn entries for one of the grand prize drawings on February 25th, March 11th, and March 25th. All you need to do is earn 25 points to receive $10 rewards play and an entry up to four times a day. One grand prize winner will win a gift certificate to Power Pack Sports and Equipment in Marshfield for a Polaris ATV or UTV, with six consolation winners being drawn to win a scooter cooler or up to $500 cash. For complete contest rules and to see the rides in person, visit the Rewards Club booth. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Oh no, not at all. You're like holding the lantern as I try to navigate through here. But we did any show you can walk away from, and trust me, I'm gonna walk away from this one in just a couple of minutes here. But not until Terry tells us about three things that you should know to start the week. And, you know, Terry, we'll start on a semi-serious note because we are talking about the Ukraine invasion from Russia 1 year later.
It has been 1 year. Seems kind of hard to believe. But, that war has been on our minds and in our hearts for a long time. More than 14,000 dead and counting. That was the number in December, actually, the latest I could get from my searches. So pretty tragic on a lot of levels. President Biden was there on Friday, and the group of seven allied nations are showing their support. The United States pledging $2 billion in weapons to the efforts to fight back the Russian invasion by Ukraine. President Zelensky would like fighter jets. President Biden not certain he's ready to go there yet. But, you know, there is a, you know, obviously a debate happening here at home as to what extent we should be spending to help the effort in Ukraine.
Yeah. And you know, it comes at a price. Marshfield couple learned that their son had died fighting in Ukraine recently. And recall that we had an interview with Bryce Lechterhand about how he and his wife arranged to support a Ukrainian couple seeking to escape the war-torn country. And so you can look on our show page over at civicmedia.us to find that show with Bryce Lechterhand and find out how you can help with Ukrainians who are looking to potentially come to the United States. Kristen and I have talked once or twice that there were spring elections last week.
Yeah. And there are more, I hear there are more coming.
And there are more coming come April. That's right. So, but yeah, I mean, we know it's not just talking heads on the radio who are dealing with it. There's a lot of folks are watching this, Terry.
This race is getting nationwide attention. I think that's a point that's been made a few times over the past few weeks. And this is the reason, you know, a lot of times when there's a race for Supreme Court in Wisconsin, it would not affect the ideological balance of the court. This certainly does, and not only will it tilt the balance of whether more justices are conservative or liberal in their philosophies, but there will be a number of very important cases coming before the court, most notably Attorney General Josh Call's lawsuit regarding the 1849 Wisconsin law and its constitutionality, which bans abortion in most cases. So there are a lot of hot-button issues that the court will ultimately decide in all likelihood. Maps, for instance, there's a possibility, it's not crazy to think that the presidential race next mm-hmm. year could come down to Wisconsin and could end up before the court.
Right, as well as the state's 1849 abortion ban. Yeah. All of these things are there. And the importance of it is underscored by the activity of certain groups. We often associate them with fall elections, but the group Conservation Voters of Wisconsin has put out a robust list of candidate endorsements right down to the county board level. And we're going to talk to someone from that group later this week and help you get informed about candidates and get you motivated to vote on or before April 4th. And Kristen's going to be banging that drum a lot about getting your absentee ballot. There's a place online where you can do that.
Oh, I know it. It's myvote.wi.gov. Go there now. It'll take you minutes. You could be done ordering your absentee ballot before we get off the radio.
It's so true.
And if I'm not wrong, I don't think the Conservation Voters group does typically gets into the endorsement game, or am I wrong with that?
If they do, it's and it may not even be endorsement at the state level, but they certainly point out, you know, the legislators' records, if they're good or bad for natural resources. So it seemed to be what I saw from them looked like a little extra activity. And so we'll find out if that is indeed the case. Then the third thing we want to talk about is passenger rail expansion, which looks like it's going to be happening in Wisconsin earlier than we were thinking. And again, we have the bipartisan infrastructure law to thank for that, Terry.
Absolutely. And we will have a second line when this happens, assuming it will happen, between the Twin Cities and Chicago. Stops in Columbus, Portage, the Dells, Tolma, and La Crosse, just like the Empire Builder right now. There'll be two more stops, Sturtevant and Mitchell Airport in Milwaukee. So it won't be any different than the Empire Builder. The only difference will be the Empire Builder will be a regional route. So
it runs all the way to Seattle. So if they're delayed in, you know, Butte, Montana or wherever, you know, it's going to cause a delay for people waiting in La Crosse to get to Chicago. So the thing to do is, yeah, they're going to keep the Empire Builder. They're just going to add a line that's just Chicago to St. Paul on a daily basis. You would, for example, leave St. Paul at 11 a.m. and get to Chicago by about 6:30. It's going to be called the Great River Route. And by the way, fun fact, Terry, Kristen, the Empire Builder was where Pat and Sherry Kreitlow spent their honeymoon.
Is that right?
Oh,
yeah. We got on the train in St. Paul. We took it through the mountains out to Seattle. And then we did that because the World's Fair was in Vancouver that year. Hmm. And so and somebody was afraid to fly back in those days. Okay. So he had the bright idea to get on a train. And I'll tell you what, that was a pretty good idea. That's a fun trip. Highly recommend it.
I hear it's a cool experience to go mm-hmm. cross country by train.
I've also done it leading a holiday vacations tour back when I was working for TV 13. We did Chicago to Reno and then to San Francisco and down the coast. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of fun. Kristen, train trips for you at all?
I haven't, but you know who's really excited in my family about this? Ooh. My kids.
Oh, sure.
They don't like driving. They love the idea of having mm-hmm. a train to be able to get to Milwaukee or Chicago or wherever they want to go. So they are thrilled about the potential here.
Yeah. I took another holiday vacations group from Vancouver to Winnipeg through the Canadian Rockies. Just gorgeous. We so don't utilize our rail to its full potential. So to see this happening, and then there may be more coming in passenger rail in Wisconsin as we still try to make up for decisions made, you know, about a dozen years ago, but we'll get there. We'll catch up. Terry Bell has all of this and more from the newsroom of Civic Media throughout the week. Terry, we always appreciate the visit. Thanks so much.
Good to see you dry. Both, of course.
All right. Sounds good. And Kristen, thank you so much for hanging around today. I knew you love the motherhood for good folks as much as I do. You got us all hooked up, and it's so great to see them active in the community.
Oh, I love that you are giving moms a voice. We have so much to say. So you giving us and them the platform to do that is just a beautiful thing, Pat. Thank you.
And a reminder, we will be talking to you for Hometown Health 7:30 on Thursday about the pink tax and the period tax. So
yeah,
be listening for that. You can follow me on Facebook, Pat Kreitlow Up North. You have a great Monday out there, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Just to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle. kids. They're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. AB